Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today is our weekly live edition called Prophecy Reality. So if you're hearing my voice on a Wednesday morning, it's all in likelihood a very live program, and you can come over to FirstAmendmentRadio.net. or firstamendmentradio.com and click on the chat button there and join us in the chat room. In the right hand column of the chat room, there's a little TV screen there, a little YouTube screen there where you can watch the broadcast and see my face and any exhibits I might put on the screen because the studio cam is on. Okay, I noticed though, and I got in the room, there were quite a number of our friends from Latin America, and of course Latin America is from the Mexican border right on down through South America, of course called Latin America because it was conquered for the papacy in many years past by Spanish conquistadors, the Portuguese, and others. Some of those countries had broke the yoke of those countries over them, but most or many of them are still under the yoke of the great white papa from Rome. Yeah, that's the papacy. But the good news is this, that God in his word calls his people to come out of the papal church. He says, come out of her, my people. And he wouldn't say that unless his people were in there. So our scripture reference for the day. See, we got one here. I put it in the chat room several times. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can find that at Matthew 4, 16 and 17. And thank you for the sound check there, WW, in the chat room. And say hi to Naughty Pines there, House, Pantera, WW, of course, Tekka, Laura, Marina, Fireman Mike's in the room, Wacky's here, and Blessed is here. And, of course, I Am Studio in the room. Fireman Mike, this week gave me a call, thank you for that, notified me of something that's going on the on YouTube there with some character over there. And I've talked about this a little bit before. Back in the 1990s, when I was working at KDNO, you know, the big radio station here in the valley, and I've heard about this Hebrew Roots movement. Well, that sounded very intriguing to me. And, of course, I had to look into it. And I did. Anytime you look at something, you have to really kind of let yourself go with it. Because you're a truth seeker. You know, you are iconoclastic. Part of the iconoclast here. You know, you have to check everything out. You have to be willing to put everything down to find the truth. And so I did. I looked into it, but after a while, it became apparent to me that I had to be dishonest to continue in it. I had to become something that I wasn't, and I had to believe things that weren't true. Okay, in the whole Hebrew Roots movement. So I walked away from that. My Heavenly Father, he visited me. If you go to my website, I've got my Damascus Road experience there. And I was walking down, it was Plymouth Road. It wasn't the road to Damascus. And this Plymouth Road is in Michigan. And yes, Fireman Mike, I am from Michigan. I was born there, born in Ann Arbor and grew up in that county there. And I was walking down the road. Of course, I was an orphan at the time, a teenager. And reading a King James Bible when Heavenly Father, His Holy Spirit, fell on me and He spoke to me and He offered me the adoption. And I didn't do nothing. You know, I've just read the book. That's all. And And God spoke to me through reading that book, and he offered me the adoption. I didn't understand really what it all meant, didn't understand about my sinfulness and repentance, didn't understand any of that. And that illustrates the point even to this very day. Here I am 45, 46 years later, and God met me right where I was, and no merit, I did nothing. To this day, I don't know why. And all I did was say, yes, I accepted the adoption. When he offered it, I accepted it. And I immediately, because in the spirit, you know, what I was experiencing there on the side of that road, in the spiritual realm, in this meeting with the Heavenly Father, was so overwhelming and so wonderful that, you know, I really can't put it into words even today. And the first request I had after I said yes, I requested something from the Heavenly Father, and he granted it. Can you imagine that? And my request was this: I want my brother and my sister to know you too. They weren't anywhere around me. They were in different parts of the state or different parts of the country. But within 2 or 3 years, both my brother and my sister came to me and started to tell me about Jesus. Yeah, see how that works? So he adopted us orphans. And that's, it's amazing. But I did nothing. I didn't deserve it. I didn't keep the law. I wasn't sorry for my sin. I wasn't, you know, doing anything. But God from that point started to work on my life. And he took this very rough diamond who for the first time in his life picked up a Bible and read it. Before that, I never heard a sermon. I heard them. I heard the sound, but I didn't have ears to hear. Okay? I'd sat in Catholic church, mostly. And then for a couple of months, I was at the behest of a friend of mine. I sat in a Pentecostal-type church. You know, old-time religion type church. But I heard nothing until that day when God unstopped my ears. No merit of my own. There was nothing I could do to deserve what happened to me. And to this day, I can't tell you why I am one of God's elect, except that he elected me. And he created me to say yes. Because when he offered me the adoption, you know, my father had been dead. I was 19. My father died when I was 13. My mother died when I was an infant. I'd been an orphan all my life. So he created me to say yes to him. So I can't even take credit for that. And it wasn't many years till many years later that I began to, you know, with all intent, to walk the repentance road and to serve God with all of my heart. Because I was just a diamond in the rough. You couldn't tell I was a diamond by looking at me, because God had a lot of work to do on me. And he's done a lot of work on me. He can accomplish a lot in, you know, 45, 46 years. And say he never completely, that diamond is not going to be, the diamond that I am is not going to be all it can be until the day I see him face to face. Then I will be like him. So that's, you know, that's my preaching. That's my gospel message. And that's the good news. There's nothing you can do. God will accept you as you are. And, you know, my plea is, you know, has been in the past, still is, I want to be one of the elect. You know, I want what God is offering. All the promises of God are yes and amen, and I want every one of them. And they're not for this life. You know, I mean, there are some promises for this life. It says the work that he begun, that he will finish that work in us. Well, I want that one too. And well, I've lived that one and I'm still living it. And I'll do this another 40 years until he comes. If he'll allow me to, my life is in his hands. That's it. He makes us ready to receive. Yes. Blessed. Thank you for that. Now Fireman Mike says, oh no, Michigander. They call us Michiganders. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. Well, I guess because I live in California now, I'm a Californian too. A transplant, as they would say. But really, the kingdom that I belong to is the kingdom of God. It's just like the scripture verse, you know, that I put in here this morning. And here it is again in the chat room. You know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it doesn't matter whether you're in California, Brazil, Europe, Japan, Michigan, or wherever. Wacky says her husband is from Michigan. See? So only clue I'd have that Wacky is a woman. Sometimes these nomikers are a little bit too ubiquitous. Okay. So it doesn't matter where you're at. The kingdom of God transcends all the borders in the whole world. Now, Fireman Mike, going back to my topic, I guess, for this hour, sent me some, turned me on to some videos from some guy that, and this guy is, he's got more followers than I do on YouTube. He's only been on there a short time, but boy, you get into apostasy and what they flock to you. Okay? That's what I could say. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm not going to give him links to the videos. You know, this guy is, he's very seductive, to say the least. And there's a lot like him out there. So he went into the, I guess his story is that he went into the Hebrew Roots movement, but he kept going. He didn't turn around or stay there like a lot of people do. They just stay there and they start, you know, sprinkling their language, his Hebrew words, and they start wearing Hebrew garb. And then they figure out that, hey, I am a Hebrew and I'm a Jew and I belong to this tribe. They think the Holy Spirit revealed it to them or something. And some of them change your name. You know, like I knew a guy, his name was Steve Butt. And he was into a deliverance ministry back in the 1990s. And suddenly he discovered his Hebrew roots and he changed his name. And now his name's Eliyahu Ben David. And you might even heard of him. He's got radio station and he's a rabbi now. And he looks the part. I mean, like, this is all I could grow right here. This is like months of growth on my face. Okay. So they grow the big beard and everything. And, you know, they look the Hebrew part, the rabbi part, you know, the typical rabbi that you would think of when, you know, with the long beards and all that stuff. Okay. But could I do that? No, I couldn't do it. I thought it would be dishonest. I thought I'd better just allow God to perfect me so that I can be who I am in his kingdom, who he created to me. I don't want to mess with that. Okay? He saved me, Nicholas Arthur. Now, I mean, he may give me a new name, but I'm not going to pretend that he gave me a new name today and I know what it is, and because I don't trust myself. I have God's word. I will trust that. And I will trust his Holy Spirit to perfect me, to reveal, to give me revelation that is in accordance with his word, that matches up with his word. Okay? I will trust that. But myself, something outside of his word? Because nowhere near does it say, Nicholas Arthur, your name will be. See, I don't trust myself. I think I can be easily deceived, just like a whole lot of other people out there. So I'm allowing God through His Holy Spirit perfect me. There's plenty to do with me without changing my name and changing me into a Hebrew and learning another, you know, peppering and wearing different stuff and looking different. There's enough to change in me for good without doing all that other unnecessary stuff. There's plenty of perfecting that has been done in me in accordance with His Word and still needs to be done. I can never be perfect in this mortal flesh, in this seed of Adam. That's what I am. I'm of the seed of Adam. I have this corruption in me. And I will walk the repentance road till the day I die. And all of the perfecting He can do in me in this life, and all that I can, that He will do through me for His kingdom, that's all I want. That's enough. And then when I see Him, I will be like Him, and I will be perfectly who He wants me to be. I can wait. And by faith, I can live for that. My treasure, the goal that I'm after, the prize that my eyes are set upon, is not on this side of the grave. It's on the other side of the grave. It's in the resurrection. When I see Him, I will be like Him. And that's good enough for me. The just shall live by faith. Anyway, I started watching this guy's videos, and he's got this whole series on why the New Testament is no good and why Jesus is a fraud. Okay? So he's questioning the Bible, and I have to tell you, Mike, Fireman Mike, that if you listen carefully to him, you'll discover that his arguments are specious. One of his favorite arguments, which you'll hear over and over, is he'll quote something from the New Testament, something Jesus said or something Paul said, and then he'll say, I can't find that in the Tanakh or the Torah, the Old Testament, because, of course, he has to use Hebrew lingo. He says, I can't find that in the Old Testament anywhere. So, therefore, and he does this over and over in every video that he has. He'll quote something that Paul said or something from the epistles or something that Jesus said or something from the Gospels. And he'll say, I can't find that anywhere in the Old Testament, so therefore we can't accept that because it's not written in the Old Testament. Well, my question is, why would we need a New Testament if everything in it had to be written in the Old Testament? That would kind of negate the need or the whole idea of having an Old Testament. If the Old Testament was adequate, then why do we have a New Testament? Okay, that's point number one. Okay. Point number two, if you need to find everything in the New Testament and the Old Testament, well, upon what do you accept the Old Testament? So really, his own argument is that we should throw them both out. And you know what? That's where you'll end up. Because if you do what he says, go back to the Old Testament, and by works you are saved, by works you get to eternal life, because you're good enough, of course, because you repented, and that was the whole point, is that it is God who elects us. And God knew who the elects were from the foundation of the world. We can do nothing. Our own works are as, you know, filthy rags. And so, well, that's the New Testament. You got to show me that in the Old Testament. But like I said, the problem here is faith. And another one of his videos, he says, where in the Old Testament did God authorize or command human sacrifice for sin? So, of course, he's saying that the sacrifice of Jesus is nothing because you can't find human sacrifice in the Old Testament. Well, you know what? He's got a huge, glaring blind spot. He has a blindness. Because I find the first human sacrifice for sin in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, in the first book of the Old Testament. And it was instituted by God himself. Yeah, human sacrifice for sin was instituted by God himself. God told them, that is Adam and Eve, you shall surely die. And they did die for their sin. That is what true atonement is. Atonement is you pay the price. You atone for your own sin. And there is no escape because we have all sinned. And we are all born in sin. So there's no escape for us. The only escape for us to satisfy the justice of the just God of the Old Testament would be a substitutionary sacrifice. The debt being paid out of someone else's account. You have a debt, you see it over and over. You know, sin, debt. Sin is equated with debt, a transgression. A debt that we have to pay. And it's paid by our life unless we have a substitutionary sacrifice. And that's what, and he goes back and he says, the only salvation that we have in the Old Testament that says that God is our salvation. Well, the very Hebrew name of Jesus, Yahushua, says that means Yahuwah is our salvation. And we'll continue talking about this a little bit more when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're talking a little bit about moving back into Judaism from Christianity, rejecting Jesus and rejecting the entire New Testament in favor of going back to sacrificing animals. You know, a lot of these Hebrew roots who abandon Jesus as the Messiah and say that he's a fraud, well, they've got a big problem. You know, are they now sacrificing animals, turtle doves and so forth, and following all the Judaistic rituals? Are they doing everything that God commanded the children of Israel to do in the wilderness, and then add that to the things that he said to do when you enter the land? There's a whole lot of things they're not doing. There's a whole lot of things they can't even do, because all the things they were commanded to do when you enter into the land, well, they've never entered into the land. I have never entered into the land. So all of those things that he said to do when you enter into the land, they don't apply to us as Christians, as followers of the Messiah. They can't do them, and we can't do them, but we can pretend to do them. I'm not against someone changing their name. I don't care if they change their name or not. But when they start to believe that they're someone that they're not, or that by becoming Jewish, that they can be saved by convincing themselves that I'm a true Jew now, and I'm going to change my name from Steve Butt to Eliyahu Ben David and get a great following that way, and put on Hebrew garb and start, you know, saying every third word has to be in Hebrew, and think that I'm going to be saved by doing that. No, that's not what saves you. I can't find that in the New or Old Testament. So anyway, one of the big questions is, like I said, most of this guy's arguments are specious. Like I said, I don't even want to give, you know, this guy's already got too many views and too many people following. And all he's done really is he's picked up a lot of the arguments of the Jewish, Talmudic, Judaistic Jews and rabbis that are Jesus haters. Yeah, they hate Yeshua the Messiah. They reject him fully, and he's just picked up a lot of their arguments. I've been aware of their arguments for many, many years. They're all over YouTube. But the fact is, do you have faith that by your good works and by following the law, and which you can't do because it's not even possible. You're not in the land. There's no temple. You're not sacrificing animals and sprinkling the blood on the altar. You're not showing up for all the feasts. You're not keeping every Sabbath. You may not even know when the Sabbath is. You might think it's on the Pope's Saturday, and you're keeping the wrong day. Oops, see, you blew it. You're not keeping the law to the letter. There's no hope for you. He says, He tries to say that he finds eternal life in the Old Testament. And, you know, I find eternal life in the Old Testament, too. But I find it through Christ and all the promises that lead to Christ. He says, so he starts, you will die for those who, you know, live in unrighteousness will die for their unrighteousness. And those who live a good life will live for their righteousness. Well, here's the problem. Everyone has unrighteousness in their past. All of us have committed sin and unrighteousness. What's going to propitiate that? What's going to atone for that? If not our own blood and our own death, how are we going to escape? So everyone has died in the past, and we shall surely die too. With no Redeemer, no Yahshua the Messiah, no Jesus, no resurrection. You don't get to be resurrected. You must pay the price for your own sins. You must satisfy the justice of a just God. And I'll tell you what, I am glad that we have a just God that requires a payment for sin. Because if he wasn't just, then what kind of God would he be? He wouldn't be a God that we want to follow if he's not a just God. He would be, Satan would be the unjust God, allowing people to get away with things. God's justice must be satisfied. And without a propitiation, with no Messiah. But see, Yahshua, Yahuwah is our salvation. That's what the name means. That's what his name means. And it's true. He is. See, they don't have faith to believe that God could become a man and take their place and pay the price for their sins. They just want God to perform magic and say, okay, my justice is not going to be applied to your account. That's what they believe. That God is just going to say, without a propitiation, without a substitutionary atonement, that God must say to them, I forgive it. Justice has been averted. There is going to be no justice in your account. Because I like you. Because you did such a good job at repenting and keeping the law. So, there's that. You're without hope beyond the grave, without a propitiation, without a substitutionary atonement, without the Messiah. You are without hope in the world, like others, like the pagans who don't even believe or hate the truth. Might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you're going to die and there's going to be nothing if you believe that. Okay, we have a caller here. Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air with Nicholas.
Hey, Nicholas, this is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Naughty Pines.
Naughty Pines in the chat room.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. What do you got for us, Carrie?
Well, I love everything you're saying, and I want to touch on a couple things, especially the Hebrew roots and where that's kind of being derailed and going back to, like you said, Pharisaical Judaism. But I was just reading recently about Mary and Martha, and when Lazarus died and Jesus was kind of saying, you know, who do you think I am? And, well, of course, I know about the resurrection. You know, they did believe in the resurrection and the last day. And, you know, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I'm here now, and like all your teaching about Daniel and the coming of Messiah, the Prince, and everything was prophesied about the Redeemer coming, and he came, and to see people rejecting him now is just mind-blowing to me, especially these people that think that they go back to the ways of the Creator, you know, and how he taught them to do in the days of Moses, and they've gone back to rejecting Messiah, just like you said, just like the rabbis. It's just the modern day Pharisees.
Yep, there you go. You still there?
I am.
Oh, okay. Wow, got awful quiet. Okay, well, I want to thank you for that. Anything else for us, Carrie?
Well, like I said, and like I'm glad you're bringing up the Hebrew roots, because last year when I was coming out of all the rapture stuff, and I went back to it, I just said, Father, what is this all about? And he showed me over and over how, you know, that I'm to follow his commandments. It's by, we're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and those who follow his commandments. And so, you know, in most churches, they don't teach you to live like I say the Father's name, Yehovah, or like you said, Yahuwah. And again, we shouldn't be squabbling over names. I see people squabbling over names. And here, the enemy is just having his way with us. As we squabble over names, squabble over, you know, changing our names. And here he's just saying, I'm here, I've arrived, you know, I'm coming back again, you need to get your lives right, you need to get, you know, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, follow my ways, how I do things in love. And I just appreciate you do such a good job of just bringing us back to that love that he had, like he showed you on your Damascus Road, and that love that he has for us if we would just accept it. And I really appreciate your testimony and how it isn't anything that we do, and so I just appreciate all that you teach us.
All right. Thank you, Carrie. It's good to hear your wonderful voice. Thank you.
Take care, Nicholas.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Well, anyone else can call in just like that if they want and join in the broadcast, comments, questions, anything. Doesn't matter. Phone number is 559-797-8537. Hey, I remembered it. Okay. So, we have the first human sacrifice for sin was instituted by God himself. And you know, I have to tell you, Fireman Mike, I posted these things and questions like this on some of his videos. He ignored the comments and deleted them because he doesn't want anyone else to see any intelligent questions. He only leaves comments up there that are complimentary to him. So that's deceiving too. He won't allow any real questioning of what he's doing on his YouTube pages there. So it's because I watched like four of his videos, almost all of them entirely, and just to see what this guy was about. And that was it. So the first human sacrifice for sin, I put that on there, he deleted it, was instituted by God himself, because he says nowhere does God command. Of course, God doesn't command the sacrifice. You have no choice. You are going to die. That's it. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike from Akron, Ohio.
Yes, Mike.
I appreciate you talking about this today. And I still haven't got the time-lapse thing down now, and I didn't know when to call because I didn't want to break up your train of thought. But another thing that fella said was that nowhere in the Old Testament did they talk about a coming Messiah. And I was looking through it last night, and I did find, I wonder if you could comment on a couple of these verses.
Okay.
Micah 5:2.
All right, Micah 5:2.
And do you want me to read them, or do you just want to pull them up? Or?
I'm going to write them down here. Micah 5:2.
Micah 5:2. And Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9. And Zechariah 13:6.
13:6.
Also very interesting if there's nothing in the Old Testament about.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and read those to us, and then we can comment on them.
Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Right.
Micah 5:2. But thou, comma, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little, and I'm sure you already know this, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel.
Right.
Goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Well, that seems pretty clear to me.
Yeah, that sounds, you know, so I think he's wrong about nothing about a coming king being in the Old Testament. And then Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shouting, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass,
mm-hmm.
and upon a colt, the foal of an ass.
Right.
It sounds like Jesus riding into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And then Zechariah 13:6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.
Right.
Pretty interesting. But anyway, if you could comment, you know, on the fact that fellow says there's nothing about a coming king in the Old Testament. But I think just those three verses right there.
Yeah, and there are plenty more. Anything else, Mike?
No, those were the only three I found. I was flipping all over the place last night. But
well, if you got your e-sword, it's easy to find many more than that. And anyway, okay, I want to thank you for the call.
I'll hang up now and let you get back to your train of thought.
Okay.
All righty, thank you.
And thank you, Michael, for calling in. It's always good to hear from you. And I have my e-sword. And what I did is I put in here fulfilled in the search box here. And then over here I put the gospel and Acts in my search parameters. And then I hit the binoculars and you can see I come up with 48 verses found and 48 matches that have the word fulfilled in them. Okay? That was that easy for me. Okay? Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, that's Matthew 1:22, Matthew 2:15, another one, and there was until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. I don't know, I've got a lot here from Matthew. There's four there. Let me expand this box up here a little bit. And you can see I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on Matthew there, plus another 10 there. And this is still Matthew, so, you know, that's quite a few on Matthew. I've got at least 20 where the word fulfilled. See, in every one it goes, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And we're just going with Mark now. Then it was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom the children of Israel did value. And of course, see, now what he does is, what this man does is he takes all these fulfillment and he does one, and he covers some of these, the easiest ones to tear down. And he just says, well, this doesn't really specifically say it. But see, if you're a critic, you can look at these fulfilled prophecies, you can go to the Old Testament, you can look it up and say, no, that doesn't say it's Jesus. And, you know, in a way, you're right. If you want to critically say it ain't there, it's not going to be there for you. Okay? That's all there is to it. It's a matter of faith. You have to believe it by faith. No matter what you do, no matter how much evidence you have, you're still going to have faith. And if this faithless man, who was a nominal Christian at one time, obviously he wasn't a true Christian, then he went into the Hebrew roots because, well, he wasn't satisfied with his relationship with Christ, what Christ was doing in him and perfecting him and so forth. Maybe that just wasn't happening. That's why he was looking for something else. You know, and he went full blown into the Hebrew Roots movement, and then he went apostate. just like the Hebrew nation did, and just like it, the whole history of the Hebrew nation. It was just, you know, apostasy after apostasy, and it ended in apostasy, and the desolation twice in apostasy. The only reason that God brought them back and allowed them is to bring forth the Messiah, knowing that at the time the Messiah that came forth, they were in apostasy again, so that they were desolated again. The abomination, you know, the overspreading of abomination brought about their desolation, as prophesied by Daniel and then Jesus. So that's all that's going on here. This guy's just gone totally apostate. And then, you have all the Jesus-hating, or Yahshua as being Messiah-hating Jews out there. And he's just become one of them. Only now, you know, he's using Hebrew words, and he thinks that he's Hebrew. And, you know, it's a terrible thing to fall into. It's better to live by faith and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in you. Because when you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, okay, you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit, there's no hope for them. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no hope for you. If you do not allow the Holy Spirit to do that first work in you, the first responsibility of the Holy Spirit is to bring you to repentance. Now, some he brings right away to repentance. But others, like me, you know, God had pity on me for his own reasons, and he slowly brought me to repentance. It was a long time before, there were some changes in my life, some things that happened right away, you know, that I didn't go the way I would have gone if Christ hadn't entered into my life. You know, there was directions that were changed right away just by my belief in him and his word. But, you know, really understanding how deep, you know, the sin nature was and how hard the road of repentance was, well, that didn't come for quite a while. And understanding what it means to love God, but, you know, by knowing God and him being involved in my life for so many years, I had to love him. I had no choice. And how could I not love someone that's so good to me, regardless of how I failed over and over and over again? And I did. I failed over and over and over again. But he just, you know, he was that loving father, just kept coming back and coming back. And I fell in love with him, and I finally one day, I think in the 1980s, I was reading his word, still reading the word. And I read, Jesus was talking about the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God. And I looked at myself in the spiritual mirror of his word. And I thought to myself, I'm not sure that I love God. Imagine that. Don't think I know how to love God. How do I love you? And he showed me in his word how to love him. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Well, I was miserably failing at keeping his commandments. You know, I was miserably failing. And decided, well, I really need to allow the Holy Spirit to, you know, get on with it. Let's get intensive in this. I want to please God because I love him. Yeah, I didn't. I'm not going to please God so that he owes me salvation, so that he has to give me eternal life because I've earned it. No, The works followed the faith. And they were, the works are born of love. His love. Well, that's, this hour is about to be wrapped up. I don't know what we're going to do in the next hour, but I'll figure something out quickly. And I'll check out the chat room, see if anybody's got any ideas, comments, questions, or anything. But we will carry on for another segment. So you're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of my ministry, my website. And you can go to crosstheborder.org. Make sure you subscribe there. And this is our live prophecy reality. And prophecy isn't just telling the future. It is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what the Jesus told us in Revelation. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, don't go anywhere. We will return after some news and such. The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce, in the minds of all, this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.